Hosea 11. The 11th chapter forms a moving section of the prophecy, for in it God is pictured as a father, tenderly caring for Israel as his infant son, and though receiving nothing but rejection, determined that his love shall not ultimately be frustrated when correction has done its work. The figure of Israel as the son of God is found in Exodus 4. Israel is my son, even my firstborn, let my son go. And again in Jeremiah 31, is Ephraim my dear son? The great deliverance from Egypt was to be seen by the nation, therefore, as the expression of the love of a father. But as Moses and the prophets appealed to the people, so Israel turned away after the Baalim. Yet it was Yahweh who had taught Israel to walk, holding him by the arm and healing him when he fell, full of pity for one helpless. Compare what Moses has said in Deuteronomy 1. In the wilderness thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son. By a change of figure, God now says that though Ephraim struggled against him like a stubborn heifer, he drew him with ropes, not as if he were a beast, but a man with cords of love. He eased the yoke off his jaws and put food before him. But Israel desires only to find safety in Egypt by intriguing with King So in the days of the last king, Hosea. Their efforts will fail and they will become subject to the king of Assyria, and their cities with their strong bars shall be consumed by war because of Israel's reliance upon such political counsels. They are so bent upon deserting God that even the appeals of the prophets to return to the Most High had no effect. And then follows one of the most moving divine appeals in all the prophets. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? Deliver here means surrender. How shall I surrender thee, Israel? By a strong expression, God conveys his yearning desire for Israel's salvation. My strong compassions are kindled. And the verb is the same as in Genesis, where Joseph's bowels did yearn over his brother Benjamin. And when in the test before Solomon, the real mother's bowels yearned upon her son. So God will not utterly exterminate Israel, as he had done the iniquitous cities of the plain, Admah and Zeboim. Why are the lesser known Admah and Zeboim preferred here to the notorious Sodom and Gomorrah? Probably because this is an expression of mercy and not of judgment. God is not a mere man to enter into a covenant and then go back on it. His holy name had been proclaimed, and his sanctuary set up in the midst of Israel, and he will not come among them as he had entered into the city of Sodom utterly to destroy. For when chastisement has done its work, God will intervene for them, roaring like a lion, the familiar figure of Joel and Amos, as he judges the nations, and then his people, or the remnant of them, as we know it must be, shall go after him. And the Lord shall go before you and be your rearward. An allusion to the pillar of cloud between them and the Egyptians at the crossing of the Red Sea, when the distant ones hear his roaring, those who are really sons shall come trembling from the west, the islands of the sea, and that is the Mediterranean, read of in Isaiah 11. They shall come trembling and swiftly as a bird from Egypt and Assyria, to be settled, caused to dwell in their houses. The passage is a remarkable prophecy of the restoration of Israel from the west, the south, and the north. And the east was not a significant correction because of the desert, to be fulfilled in the latter days on a scale which Hosea and his contemporaries could not possibly have foreseen. Although Israel multiplied lies in their service to God, Judah still honours God, what ail, and is faithful to the Holy One. Literally, holy ones, plural. If we compare Proverbs 9 verse 10, where the parallel to Yahweh is the holy ones. And in Proverbs 30, where to learn wisdom is parallel to having knowledge of the holy ones. The contrast in favor of Judah is paralleled in Hosea, its basis being the possession of a Davidic king, Levitical priests, and temple worship. And some rulers who were faithful, as Hezekiah and Josiah were to prove to be. Ephraim, however, is merely pursuing the destroying east wind. His lies, expressed in his seeking help from the Assyrians and offering his choicest product, oil, to the Egyptians, will bring desolation as a punishment. Even with Judah, God will have to contend. In fact, all 12 tribes of Jacob will have to be rewarded according to their ways. The name Jacob recalls episodes in the life of that patriarch. At his birth, he supplanted his brother Esau. The symbol was of God. By his faith working powerfully in him, he prevailed in his wrestling with the angel of God at Bethel. So anxious was he to receive the blessing he sought that he wept in supplication, knowing the distress of his natural situation in the face of his powerful brother. It was at Bethel that God thus made himself known to Jacob, and through him spoke to us, who are his seed. First in the vision of the angels upon the ladder when he fled to Padan Aram, then again on his return. And the God who so revealed himself was Yahweh, who gave his name as an everlasting memorial to Israel. You, Israel, do as Jacob did. Obey the law of God which has been declared to you. Practice loyal love and justice. That is hesed, mishpat. Love and justice, one to another. And hope on him continually for your salvation. Think of Micah. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. But, Ephraim, what in fact have you done? Look what significance you have given to Bethel. You are a Canaanite, that is, a Phoenician, trading dishonestly and abusing your power you have become wealthy and you regard your prosperity as a proof that you are without sin. And yet your God is none other than I, Yahweh, who brought you out of Egypt in the first place and will yet again, if only you will repent, enable you to keep the Feast of Tabernacles with joy and gladness as in the past. That feast in which Israel will want to acknowledge Yahweh as their God, their complete dependence upon Him as the provider of all they possess. God had spoken repeatedly to upon His prophets. In Ezekiel 3 we read, "The hand of the Lord was strong upon me." God had spoken repeatedly by visions and parables. Think of Hosea's experience with his erring wife. By the ministry of the prophets, and the verse suggests an abundance of these communications in the past. From Gilead, the heap of witness in the east, to Gilgal, heaping heap on the west of Jordan. That is, in all parts of the land, the idolatrous altars are as heaps, that is, heaps of stones in the fields. Jacob, rather than become rich with the Canaanite inhabitants of the land, fled to the field of Aram, that is, Syria. An Aramite, a Syrian, ready to perish, was my father, we read in Deuteronomy 26. Jacob earned his wife by keeping sheep. And by the prophet Moses did God bring Israel out of Egypt and preserved him like a flock. This is the example of faith which Ephraim should have followed. Instead, he is provoked to God's anger by blaspheming his name and by his acts of violence. His guilt shall remain upon him.